Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Extra now from Radio City Talk. Jake Mills from Chasing the Stigmas on the show. Afternoon, Jake.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, annoyingly, you got several mentions on the show from our guests in recent weeks. I've been working with a guy called Jake Mills. We're like, yeah, we all know Jake.
I know, yeah. So I listened to it this week for that reason. But I think people who you have spoken to, from Paul Bannister, Andy Smith, Johnny Benjamin, and it's kind of, it's testament really to what our approach is, what and what we're trying to achieve really with Chasing the Stigma is we want to work in collaboration with as many people as we possibly can, because we firmly believe that's how you're going to make a difference. So it's nice to know that people do appreciate that as well.
Good stuff. It's all because you're doing great work. A couple of interesting topics of conversation. The BBC this week have had a series of programmes about mental health. I want to talk about the Nadia Anxiety Show, which was absolutely fascinating. I'm going to start with Royal Team Talk, because it follows on from our conversation with Edgehill University and the study that they conducted into people within sport. Thierry Henry was involved in this, Gareth Southgate, Peter Crouch, Prince William, and some other names as well, sitting down with the Duke of Cambridge, William, and talking about men's mental health, male suicide as well. And Danny Rose, who had spoken out about mental health in the past, had a fascinating insight that a club was trying to buy him but wanting to meet him to make sure he wasn't crazy, because they'd heard that he talked about mental health. Now, when we talk about stigma, that is absolutely classic number one example of what stigma is. The fact that he mentioned a thought on mental health and people presumed it meant he was crazy.
This is the problem, is that we think, well, a lot of people think that is what is going to happen, and I think, you know, it's all well and good saying no it won't, and you know, it's, but it does, and that things like that will and do happen across all different sectors, and I think that was probably the most important thing that's come from it, really, was shine a spotlight on that, and to say, because, you know, being aware and mental health awareness obviously is important, but it's actually more than just being aware, it's more than just awareness raising, it's actually looking at the reality of the situation, and that is a reality of situation, and with that, is there any wonder that people aren't going to be talking openly about it? Tomorrow, actually, I'm going to a meeting with the Premier League tomorrow, because they know there's a problem, and they know they've got to be doing more, and they want to be doing more, and they want to be working with clubs to be able to get the help to players, to staff, to be able to say this is something that we have to be tackling together.
Yeah, Gareth Southgate said in terms of the, you know, the culture that existed of not opening up about anything in life without being seen as weak. He says it isn't a weakness; it's actually a strength. Mm-hmm. That's coming from the England manager who is saying that. So if we are going to change attitudes, and attitudes are going to change, Gareth Southgate's in a good position, and it's good that you've got somebody who is so high profile at the top of an organisation in the FA, who has that attitude. It wasn't going, oh, it's not just something we tolerate or put up with. We're actually using it to both the football team's advantage and your own personal advantage too.
Yeah, it is. But to just go back to that point that we've just mentioned as well, is that it's got to be more than just awareness raising and saying it's okay to not be okay, and to say, you know, let's look at us talking about it. There's got to be a systematic change. And it's not just football, but, you know, looking at sports, because with the survey that Andy Smith done at Edgehill, is that there has to be a fundamental change throughout an organisation to be more than just talk. It's actually taking action. And as I said, the point that Danny Rose made is probably evident in organisations up and down this country. So it has to be more than awareness raising. It has to be action.
What
so
does that action look like, do you think? Within a sporting organisation, maybe?
Some of the results that came from Andy Smith's survey was looking at how many people want to access support via work, and how many actually want to access support outside of work. And that was quite interesting, because I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head now, but there was a significant number of people who wanted support in and out of work. The amount of people who wanted just support in work was quite low. So it's about working. It's about working with outside organisations. It's about equipping people to understand how to access that help and support at a much earlier stage. That's a problem that we face anyway as a society, and people in general need to know that. But it has to be more than just we'll look after it ourselves internally. It's not going to work like that. It's not working like that.
One of the things I found fascinating from the Edgehill University study was the idea that those people who are engaged in sport, there's a presumption because they're taking part in physical activity that they're going to be, you know, in a good place. But actually, because it looked at all different aspects of from amateur to professional sport, it also looked at things like those who were involved in it, the coaches, and those who essentially took it on almost as a job. And it might have been cleaning the kits, having to organise travel, you know, taking on the stresses of it. And actually, those types of people who are the very backbone of particularly amateur sports, Sunday league stuff, they were the ones who were suffering. They were the ones who were showing signs that they needed a little bit of extra. That those who were facilitating people to take part in activities of running around and playing football and hockey and rugby and all the things that the survey covered, they were the ones in most need of help.
Yeah, I think there was a point that was made on the podcast yesterday when we were talking about the blue light services, and I think it might have been Wayne who mentioned it, that the stress that we're kind of taking on, we're then taking home, and there's no kind of real outlet for people to kind of to release that stress and those pressures and those anxieties that come from work. And when you're looking at sport, all that pressure that comes with having to not only perform but to have everything running the way that it should be, because you know the people involved in the survey weren't necessarily professional sports athletes, it's people across sport. So it there's got to be something there, some kind of outlet for the people. And again, it's not looking at that one size fits all approach. How many times we hear people say, well, you know, exercise or go for a run. Yeah, that can. But when it's part of your job, it's the stress that comes with the job. It's just weighing so heavy on people.
Obviously, the work that Andy's doing is obviously specialist, and he's sort of an expert in the world of sport, which is why he's got his focus there, because that's his sort of field of expertise, his contacts and so on and so forth. But actually, if we were to say, you know, students who are taking their GCSEs at the moment, or students who are at university, or people who are carers in their 50s, or people who are carers in their 20s, or people who are partners of people who suffer with dementia, say, we're still talking about human beings, mm-hmm. right? Human beings who find themselves in different environments. But part of me thinks, is there a need to be so specific in now looking at these different things? Because actually we're seeing similar types of responses in similar types of areas, which means that we maybe need to look at society overall, this entirely holistic approach where we look mm-hmm. to everybody and talk about everybody, because the numbers are stacking up that right across the board, whether you are rich or poor, from an upper class background, a lower class background, that similar situations can find their way to your doorstep.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the survey that was done by Andy Smith at Edgehill, although Andy is an expert in sport, although ironically supports Aston Villa, Andy will be the first to say that this is transferable to other workplaces, to other scenarios. So yeah, it is. It's not kind of. But then at the same time, I do think it is important to almost narrow it down to communities, to environments, to a bit more specific, to allow people to engage and understand that a little bit more. From my knowledge, there's been nothing done like that, particularly in sport. So it was really important that it was narrowed down to that, so we can shine a light on it. But yeah, this is not a sport. This is not a workplace. This is not a particular gender or demographic problem. This is across the board, as we well know.
Yeah, it'd be great if people could take Andy's data set now and then transfer it into these different environments. So you go, how does that play out? Because it also might offer clues about different types of things, variations in whatever it might be that might offer us an insight or clues into how we might go about improving things.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's important that point about how people get help, what the type of help that people want. But also, I think one of the most kind of shocking or eye-opening things to come from it was how many people are struggling, are saying that they are struggling with the mental health or have a mental illness, but are performing and going to work and performing every day. You know, it's not necessarily what we would imagine would happen, is that you would think if somebody is ill, then that will affect their performance. It does in no ways.
Mental Health Extra. Jake Mills from Chasing the Stigma is with us in the studio. Chasing the Stigma has got loads of great information on the website as well. Jake also set up the Hub of Hope, which you can find via the App Store or on Google Play, and it'll find mental health services close to where you are. I wanted to mention the documentary that Nadia Hussain took part in. She has suffered, all undiagnosed actually, with anxiety. She has panic attacks and has done for 30 odd years. She says as a result of... there was a bullying incident when she was at school, and it's an ongoing thing that she's never really dealt with. But as part of a BBC TV documentary, she sat down and she had CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy, sessions with a counsellor. It was a really fascinating insight into somebody's life in a way that we see her as the lady who makes the cakes and does travel shows and stuff like that. But it felt like it was all consuming. The threat of the panic attack and the anxiety that felt like it was surrounding her.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, admittedly, I haven't actually watched it, because ironically, Mental Health Awareness Week is one of the worst weeks for my mental health. I'm glad that it's over. I will watch it. I just, I don't know, I found it a little bit hard to watch. I suppose that's the point. But I do think it was important to be talking about panic attacks and anxiety, because these are things that probably affect more people than you would imagine, and when you're talking about kind of diagnosis and things like depression and other mental illnesses, maybe people would see them as mental illnesses but not see anxiety and panic attacks as. And yeah, it's do you know what, it's the kind of the idea of having a panic attack, or the possibility of having a panic attack, is enough to put you in a panic attack. It's that idea of what could happen. Say for example, if I was say performing or something, it's that idea of what if I have a panic attack, then that means that it is totally consuming for days before. And as I said, I think it probably affects more people than we actually realise, really.
It's part of a series. There was David Harewood's Psychosis and Me. Alistair Campbell did a documentary. Mm-hmm. There was the Royal Team Talk situation on there as well. And as much as anything, I think that thing where I don't think the people who took part, I don't think they in any way, shape or form want to be defined at all by their mental health. They want to be defined by themselves as a human being. But I think that was a good example last week of people who you would see in a different environment suddenly talking about themselves in a way that you'd never seen them talking before. And I know you're always keen to say that, you know, sharing your story is not for everybody, but I thought that they were very well chosen, those series of people, as individuals who you wouldn't maybe expect to hear those stories, or individuals that you frame in your mind in, as an actor or as this, you know, political mover and shaker. But in fact, there's this other stuff going on in their mind.
Yeah, and it's about seeing them as human, isn't it? And, you know, particularly with footballers and sports people, is that we think that they are robots and that they're immune to feelings, and that, well, you know, they got themselves in that situation, or they're making this money that they can put up with stuff. And I think that's the big thing really from these type of programs, is that you're seeing people for humans and relatable. I mean, particularly with Nadia's one, that was I don't like using the word brave, but that was like, not a lot of people would have put themselves through that on national television. So, fair play to it.
But I think there are a lot of people who would have seen that and then thought, oh, that's what I'm like.
Exactly.
People who, and this is that mental health awareness thing, the people who thought, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. And you've spoken about this before and it's come up on the programme many times, but people are still so ill-educated or uneducated on mental health that a lot of people may well have been experiencing some of those things and just thought that was just how they felt about stuff, what their life was like.
Yeah, and that's it, because it's not even ill-educated. There's literally no education at all, so it's just nobody is being educated, and that's wrong. But again, to make the point again, it's not just about being aware of what you're feeling, it's being aware of where you can turn to. There's help available, there's always help available. And that's exactly why we created the Hub of Hope. And anybody who's been affected by any of the programs or recognizes any of the symptoms or signs, get help, speak to somebody. Don't wait for it to get worse. Don't wait to the point of crisis. Go and get the help, because if you are living like that, you don't have to, and you can go and get that support now.
The podcast this week for Mental Health Monday focused on the work of Andy Smith at Edgehill University and his new study, a really comprehensive study, actually. You can hear the full thing on the podcast. Also, the work of Our Blue Light, which was looking at the mental health of the emergency services. That's something which I feel now that a couple of years ago when it first came up was something which was like new onto the scene. I really got a sense from Paul and Wayne that the emergency services were really starting to grab the bull by the horns on this one, that they were actually, now they'd taken the Mind Blue Light scheme in-house, if you like, and they were going out of their way to find people to refer onto different schemes and help sessions and find advice to them who'd suffered some terrible things, who had experienced terrible things, and as you imagine, they might well do, working for the police and the fire service. They must see horrendous things.
Yeah, you know, again, it's that idea of thinking that the robots and that they're immune to it. And I think they actually said yesterday, it's like, well, you knew what you're getting yourself into when you're taking on this job. Yesterday, I spoke to a group of paramedic students yesterday, and I think they know what they're getting themselves into. They know that they're going to be dealing with some absolutely horrific things, but I don't think anybody could ever be prepared truly for that. And even if you are, even if you've been in the service for 25 years, you still will be affected. I think this is not new. By no means is this a new thing, but I think for so long it's been swept under the carpet, it's been hidden away, it's been nobody open this can of worms because we don't want to deal with it. And with the Mind Blue Light service and the way that they did open that can of worms, now there's no choice but to actually do something about it. It's important.
And I wonder whether or not austerity has had its impact as reductions in numbers across officers or firefighters or paramedic staff, that actually the ability for somebody to take time off and disappear for 6 weeks and come back having, you know, cured themselves of stress or not, they can't afford to lose people. So they're now having to look at the reasons why people are taking time off. And it turns out that a significant part of that is stress and symptoms of stress born out of the workload and the things that they've experienced in the office or outside the office.
And that's it. And again, this will happen across workplaces throughout the country. I would say the majority of people, if you ask the HR departments what's the biggest reason for sickness absence, it will be mental health related. So that's exactly what we're trying to do with our Ambassador Hope training program as well, and the other training programs that are out there, is trying to equip people to make decisions and find the help at an earlier stage so that it doesn't consume them and it doesn't lead to having to take the time off. And if you're gonna speak to a workplace and tell them how that will benefit them, then it's exactly that reason.
Thank you for your time. Jake Mills, have you been affected by any of the issues that we've touched on the programme today? Don't forget, hubofhope.co.uk has links to all the local services operating in your area, no matter where you're listening to this. So you don't have to be in a Merseyside area, anywhere in the country. The database is absolutely huge. Hubofhope.co.uk is the website. You can also get the app available on Apple and also on the Google Play Store if you're using Android.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.